Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sanklecha from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shlok. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you for the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter performance, we have from the management Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Randhir Singh, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Vinod Kumar Panigar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Srijit Menon, CEO of Indostar Home Finance Private Limited, and Mr. Pushkar Joshi, CFO, Indostar Home Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Karthik, sir.
Thank you, Viral. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Karthikeyan Srinivasan, and I want to extend a warm welcome to each of you for joining our Q1 FY25 earnings call to discuss the financial performance of Indostar Capital. I hope you all had a chance to review our financial results and investor presentation, which are accessible on the stock exchanges and our website. I truly appreciate part of our journey. Today, we have with us Randhir Singh, whole-time director and executive vice chairman, Vinod Panikar, our CFO, Srijit Menon, our CEO of Indostar Home Finance, and Pushkar Joshi, CFO at Indostar Home Finance. Let me start with introducing Mr. Randhir Singh, who has joined us in July 24. He's a seasoned financial leader with 29 years of experience. In his last assignment, he was joint CEO and co-founder at Apex Financial Services Private Limited and has held numerous operational and strategic financial roles in the financial services industry across various banks and financial institutions. We as management team look forward to work together to continue executing our strategy and building the business to its full potential at Indostar. Let me start by discussing the macroeconomic factors this quarter. The IMF has increased India's growth forecast for 24-25 to 7% from 6.8 as of April 24. The increase was due to the improvement in private consumption, particularly in rural areas. Additionally, government also released India's retail inflation data, which revealed an increase to 5.08 from a 12-month low of 4.75 in May. The RBI has kept the repo rate unchanged at 6.55% for 8 consecutive meetings, highlighting its focus on balancing inflation control with economic growth stability. The GST collections have shown significant improvement, reflecting the strong economic performance we are witnessing. In June 24, the total GST revenue reached an impressive 1,73,000 crore. This represents a substantial 7.63% increase over June 23. Discussing about the CV industry, over the past years, especially 22 and 23, the CV industry saw a good growth both in volume and tonnage terms, greatly expanding our foundation. This growth was driven by infrastructure development, increasing mining activities, and replacement demand. As we look forward, the replacement demand is expected to be strong, primarily driven by aging fleets, the implementation of the scrappage policy, and this is likely to support the new vehicle growth. But the current year, we feel like in spite of the good monsoons, the M&HCV as well as the light and ICV industry is likely to have a lower single-digit growth in terms from last year. That's more because the interest rate has remained high in the new vehicle segment and the cost of the new vehicles has been going up. With the driver cabin changes going to come in next year by March, the price of the asset is still likely to go up. With the asset cost going up, it has become unaffordable for the retail and FPU players to get into the new vehicle segment, and that is what is aiding the used commercial vehicle industry. the pre-owned vehicle industry is likely to continue its strong momentum. Two, three things are contributing to this. First and foremost, there is a scarcity of the old vehicles availability, combined with the continuous price hike in the new vehicle segment, plus lack of availability of finance for retail FTO operators is driving this. Over the past 2 years, if you see, the used commercial vehicle industry has surged by more than 30% due to limited supply. This scarcity originates also from the COVID years, because between 2020 and 2022, the amount of sale of new vehicle has been quite low, because that's where the years when we moved to BS4 and the industry was badly impacted by COVID. All these are contributing to the growth in the used commercial vehicle industry, and in our view, the market is likely to remain stable and grow from here. Also with FASTag, the removal of octroi and check post, the GST implementation, the lifespan of the vehicles has gone up. Also, the scrappage policy overhang is also pushing the customers to replace. So this is likely to remain a key driver for us, and this will help us build a strong portfolio. We are committed to our goal of exploring new products, strategies to boost returns, and diversifying our offerings to the retail and FTO operators, and we will continue with this. We plan to launch ancillary products around the trucking industry so that the complete benefit of Indostar can get translated to our customers. We have been consistently trying to improve the well-being of our customers, providing top-class service and adding value to our stakeholders. We'll continue to work on this and include expanding our lending operations, which will be aided by the growth in the used commercial vehicle industry. We remain committed to enhancing our analytics to ensure our model is flexible and capable of growth. Recognizing the increasing importance of technology, we have made significant investments in the technological area. Our end-to-end loan origination is today driven by technology. Additionally, we are expanding our operations, particularly in the Tier 3, Tier 4 cities, with an emphasis on the used commercial vehicle segment, because we feel with the rural demand kicking up due to good monsoon, it is the place to be in so that the growth can get sustained. Now, let me give you an update on our company's operational performance. Our disbursements for Q1 FY25 reached 1627 crores, showing a growth of 45.8% over the previous year. We have actively pursued our goal to reduce the NPAs through the implementation of aggressive collection tactics, superior credit appraisal, and stringent control measures. And we have been able to successfully reduce delinquencies quarter on quarter. Currently, our GNPA stands at 4.19 on a consolidated basis and 4.97% for the standalone entity. Looking at our new SME product tailored to small ticket sizes, particularly targeted at Tier 3, Tier 4 market, is getting launched. This strategic shift not only aligns us with market demand, but also reflects our dedication to expanding our footprint and supporting entrepreneurship in underserved regions. Now, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Vinod Panikar to present the financial performance.
Thank you, Karthikeyan, and thank you and everyone else who's on the call. Along with Karthik, I would also like to welcome Randeep, who is first time on our call. And his presence over the next few months and quarters will definitely help us go forward and boost the performance of the organization. I'm grateful for your presence at this conference call today. Let me give you an overview of the company's financial performance for the first quarter of FY25. Starting with the consolidated revenue, we generated a total revenue of about 389.6 crores as against 299 crores in the same quarter last year and about 474 crores for the immediately preceding quarter. Our net interest income was 186 crores, marking an increase of close to 29% on a year-on-year basis. Our net margin stood at about 6%. We are pleased to highlight a significant improvement in our yields, with a strong focus on Tier 3, Tier 4, and secured lower ticket products, which we call it as Focus 4. Our operating expenses totaled to about 139 crores in the current quarter, as against about 115 crores in the same quarter last year, and about 139 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. Our profit for the quarter stood at above 25 crores. Our standalone revenue for the quarter stood at 304 crores, as compared to 241 crores in the same quarter last year, and 390 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. But in the immediately preceding quarter, we had a non-recurring one-time income of about 116 crores. If that is actually taken away, the growth was, I would say, reasonably good. Our net interest income stood at about 137 crores, as compared to 108 crores in the same time last year, and including the one-off income of 116 crores, or 228 crores, which again says that the net interest income has gone up in the current quarter. Our operating expenses of the quarter was at 112 crores, compared to about 92 crores in the same quarter last year, and significantly higher, 122 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. At a consolidated level, the disbursements for the quarter, like Karthikeyan mentioned, was at about 1,627 crores, as against 1,116 crores, marking a 46% increase, and we were at about 1,767 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. On a standalone basis, the disbursement, mainly the vehicle finance disbursement, was at about 1,416 crores, as compared to 926 crores of the same quarter last year, and 1,465 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. On a consolidated basis, our AUM crossed the 9,500 crore mark. We were at about 9,565 crores, as against the 8,062 crores that we were at about a year back. In March, we were at about 8,763 crores, which shows that the growth was close to 11% in the current quarter over the immediately preceding quarter. AUM on a standalone basis stood at 7,170 crores, as compared to 6,321 crores, marking a 13% increase. We achieved a total collection of 743 crores in the current quarter, as against 676 crores. Our collection efficiency, including the overdue, was at about 95%, showcasing our commitment to highest credit standards and highest operational efficiencies. Our primary focus continues to be on asset quality, and we are pleased to report that the efforts that have been put up by the teams have led to the Stage 3 being at the same quarter, same, at the same level that we were at the same, in the immediately preceding quarter, and significantly lower than the same quarter last year. This is reflects a healthy loan portfolio moving forward. We are committed to continuing this positive trend and further reducing these in the coming quarters. Further, our Stage 3 has also at about 2.36% seen a reduction over the same figure that was there about a year back when it was 3.7%, which is, but it is slightly higher than the immediately preceding quarter, when it was at about 2.1%. The ongoing improvement shows our effective credit risk management, a robust collection mechanism, and dedication to maintaining strong asset quality. We have a capital adequacy in the standalone entity of about 27.7%, and a debt equity of around 2%, which gives enough headroom for future growth. And we are confident that this will help us drive profitable growth in the coming quarters and years. The more we leverage, the more we will be able to improve our ROE going forward. In the vehicle finance segment, our AUM at the end of Q1 stood at about 6,323 crores. And as previously mentioned, our emphasis continues to be on growing the used CV segment, and we are seeing significant growth in the AUM, which we expect to continue. our emphasis on focus core, something which I mentioned sometime back, for focus core products, has led to an increase in our yields by about 70 basis points over the last three quarters. Besides the insurance income that we have started generating from the previous quarter, have ensured that our overall incomes start going up and our NIMs will keep on expanding as we go forward. Our emphasis on the coming quarter is to source funds from the banking channels in a big way. While we continue to repay the existing NCD loans, which we have taken since December 22, when we started to kickstart the business, when we needed to kickstart the business engine, a large chunk of these NCDs get repaid over the next three quarters, and which will be, we are confident, be replaced by lower cost funds that we are currently accessing. I need to mention here that during Q4 FY24, we raised funds at about 12.7%, and over the last three quarters, incrementally, the funds are being raised at around or even below 10.5%. This trend we are hopeful of continuing as the business stabilizes and is seen by the lenders as such. These two together will ensure that the net interest income improves substantially, and with the OPEX stabilizing, we expect to improve our profitability in the next few quarters. Now I would invite my colleague Srijit Menon to provide further insights into the housing finance business, which is another key area, a focus area of our business. Over to you, Srijit.
Thank you, Vinod. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to start by taking you through the key highlights that illustrate our accomplishments during the quarter ended June 30, 2024. We continued the growth momentum carrying on from the Q4 of last financial year to clock our highest ever first quarter disbursement numbers. This is the first time we've crossed INR 200 crores in the first quarter of the year. We are delighted to report that we witnessed strong momentum across most of our business matrices. During the quarter one, the total disbursement stood at 211 crores. Our assets under management reached 2,395 crores, representing a robust growth of 37.6% year-on-year basis. Our loan book stood at 1,908 crores. Our customer base now stands at more than 30,000 customers, depicting the granular nature of our assets with an average ticket size of INR 9 lakhs. Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana and Maharashtra continue to remain our core geographies, accounting for almost 85% of our loan portfolio. We continue our journey to enhance operational efficiency and embrace digital transformation. We have now a total branch network of 122 branches across the country as on 30th June and continue to expand radially in the chosen geographies by way of digital locations. Maintaining an excellent asset quality remains the cornerstone of our operations. Our 90 plus days past due portfolio stands at 0.93% and our 1 plus day past due stood at 3.95% as on 30th June 2024, which are marginally higher than the previous quarter of 0.83% and 3.02% as on 31st March. Our gross stage 3 assets, the GNPA stood at 1.34% as of June 30, 2024. We continue to enhance our digital infrastructure to provide a seamless experience to our valued customers. From this perspective, we have gone live with the end-to-end digital and paperless journey in the previous quarter, and I'm extremely happy to inform you that the adoption rate of our sales app is now 100%, and more than 40% of our incremental disbursements are going through the automated loan kit. We are working towards strengthening the journey even further, with few enhancements being developed in the process, such as the introduction of the login scorecards, the self-tracking of customer journey, and from a distribution side, we're now in the process of launching our own digital connector app to onboard connectors in a seamless manner. On the liability side, we successfully raised INR 165 crores during the quarter, majorly through term loans from banks. We are pleased to report a strong liquidity position with INR 127 crores in cash on the balance sheet and an additional 295 crore of undrawn sanctions. Now moving on to our financial performance. Our total income stood at 85 crores, with our net interest income at INR 49 crores. Pre-provisioning operating profit stood at INR 21 crores. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at INR 14 crores. Our return on assets are at 3%, and we maintain a strong capital adequacy of 56.2% and a debt-to-equity of 2.6 times. In conclusion, our commitment to innovation, efficiency, and maintaining a high asset quality continues to drive our success. Looking ahead, we remain focused on executing our strategic initiatives to further enhance operational excellence, expand our customer base, and explore opportunities for growth. We are optimistic about the future and remain dedicated to delivering sustained value for our investors and stakeholders. I now take this opportunity to hand over the mic to Mr. Ranjit Singh for his final remarks.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the call. I'm settling in nicely after joining the last week, Monday. As I see it, I think we are a very positive trajectory over the last few quarters, and I look forward to working with the management team to really achieve the best-in-class operating performance over the next quarters and years. So look forward to be engaging with all of you in the future.
We will now hand over the call to the moderator for further course.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kunal Khudania from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Vivek Ramakrishnan. I had four questions. I'll just ask them in sequence. One, collection efficiencies and GNPAs have increased both in the commercial vehicle and the housing finance business. If you could throw some more into it, I mean, we know it's been a tough quarter with heat and elections and so on. And do you see any correction happening immediately, or will it take a longer period of time? So those are the two questions for the assets on the two sectors. Then on the liability side, I noticed that the HFC has been successful in raising bank loans, but the NBFC has still not increased its bank loans. And Mr. Panikar referred to progress being made. So if you could throw some more color on that. Lastly, in terms of since you're going to refocus on SME business, is that going to increase cost to income, or is there any operating leverage you can get from your existing branch network? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Yeah. See, we'll start with the asset question on CV. Typically, April, May is a dull quarter in CV because compounded with elections, there is always a spike. This is not a this-year phenomenon. It's an annual phenomenon. But we have been able to maintain ratios. I'm sure this will get pulled back basis post-monsoons. So typically, what happens up to monsoons, there is a slight increase in delinquency. It starts getting normalized post-September, and by the end of the year, it will go back to normalcy. We will see the same phenomenon there. The second question I'll take is on the SME portion of it. We are leveraging our existing branches, so we don't expect any increase in the cost to income beyond whatever is there. the asset portion of mortgage stages is taking?
Yeah. So I think if you look at our pure 90+ days past due, the increase is about 10 basis points, and that's something that's expected in the first quarter. And as you rightly pointed out, some of the expenses that come up in the first quarter do lead to some of that. But as we see happening across the second and third quarter, we start the moderation and the real moderation then towards the end of the last quarter.
Yeah, maybe just to add to Vivek, just to add to what Karthik said, on the SME, there will be some amount of increase, but then that would be in relation to the increase in the
employee
manpower. Everything else would be through the existing branch. I just adding that as a clarification number. Then on the second point, you had asked about the fundraising, and I mentioned about the fundraise which is there. We have raised about 730 crores in the current quarter. Most of it actually came from the banks, maybe in one form or the other. So some was in the form of a term loan, which was the public sector bank. There were two funds which came from the private sector banks in the form of WCDL, long-term WCDL. One was a large PTC, which we did with one of the with a large private sector bank, and there was some amount of CPs that we did. There are many, I would say, things which are there in the pipeline in terms of bank sanctions, which would fructify in the month of August and in the month of September. So we are confident that we will possibly come back when we come back the next time. We'll come with the number substantially higher collection, I mean, sourcing of funds from banks, more specifically banks, while we are continuing to do other things. In fact, when we are talking about raising of funds, I just need to make this mention of the public issue of the NCDs that we are working on. We have filed a prospectus on the 29th with the stock exchanges, and we are awaiting response from them, basis which we are looking at raising 150+150 in terms of by way of the public issue of NCDs. We are confident that these things, a combination of all the sources, will help us get funds at a substantially lower rate. Ram, I also mentioned that over the last three quarters, the incremental cost of funds have been falling, and it has been at an average of about 10.5%, down from a 12.7% that it was in the second quarter of last year. So we are seeing funds coming from various quarters, various sources, and that will drive our volume. There is a large, I would say, sanction from a PSU bank, which is in the final documentation stage. That should also be taken by us in the next 8 to 10 days.
So thank you very much, and wish you all good luck.
Thank you,
Vivek.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, participants who wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunidhi Joshi, which is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so is the CV Finance, the presentation depicts a drop in ATS after multiple quarters of ATS above 8 lakhs. So any secular change in disbursement policy that is being implemented?
Yeah, see, we were doing M&A CVs to a large extent. What we have now done is we are focusing completely towards small commercial vehicle pickups. This comes at an average ticket size of 4 lakhs. In terms of units, almost 60% of the units are coming through these small ticket sizes. That has pulled down our ATS. The concept behind this, the thought behind this, because it's a large consumption-driven economy. We are a large consumption-driven economy. These products help in making the consumption-driven economy grow further. The rural market is also seeing an uptick. So our focus has completely changed towards pickups and small commercial vehicles.
Hello.
Yeah.
Sunidhi, I had made a mention when I in my speech about the focus four. This is the focus four which Karthikeyan is talking about, which is smaller in ticket size, which is higher in yield, and therefore it is helping us in an overall business. Hello.
Ms. Sonidhi, does that answer your question?
Hello.
Yeah, Sunidhi.
On the housing finance side, our GNPA and NNPA metrics have inched up and now higher than FY 23 metrics after years of downward trend. So any stress buildup you're seeing in this segment?
No, so as I mentioned in my answer to the earlier question, the GNPA for the first quarter, typically for companies are slightly higher, and then they start inching down towards the second and third quarter. In our case, on 90 DPD plus, the GNPA has increased only by 10 basis points. So 0.83 has gone up to 0.93%. And we are fairly confident that that will moderate as we move towards the future quarters.
Okay. And just to quick follow up on it, is how do you foresee the asset quality metrics to evolve as you scale and introduce SME loans?
See, we feel like our assets, the GNPA overall numbers will remain stable or will go down. Because in the market I am operating, we are expecting a 5% GNPA and 2.5% net NPA. We'll remain in that territory. We will not have any surprises. The new SME book performance will be known probably next year, but it will be aping whatever is there in the market. It will be a low NPA product.
Okay, fine. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahan Tulshan from Trivantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible. You may go ahead with your question.
Yes, I had a couple of questions. I just wanted to know what the trajectory of the credit costs will be in the coming quarters, the ECL provisions and the write-offs. And I wanted to know the what would be the if there is a targeted share of housing finance in the consolidated AUM mix, because this quarter the disbursements relative to CV disbursements, the housing disbursements are much lower. So I wanted to know if there is a targeted share.
We'll take that credit cost question first. See, the segment I am in, we can expect a 1.5 to 2% credit cost. We will remain in that territory only. We feel like we have some amount of old book, which is around 211 crore, which we have mentioned, which will get resolved over the period of next 2 years. So till that time, some amount of here there can come in. But the segment I am in, we expect a credit cost of around 1.5% on the long term. That's how we will end up at.
Yeah, on the second question, I think the way we look at our overall targets for the year, and we've seen the budgets both for housing and CV. As you know, housing moderates in the first quarter and picks up towards quarter two and three. So we're fairly confident that both the budgets will be met and the ratios will be what it is as we've planned out for the year.
Okay, so the current mix will be maintained for the year?
Good. Yeah.
Okay. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Devansh from Safe Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with respect to cost of borrowings, can you elaborate when will the benefits start flowing in? Also, I mean, this quarter, there has been an inch up, right, in cost of borrowing in comparison to last quarter. And we expected significant benefits flowing in from this quarter. So some thoughts, if you can share over here. Also, credit cost, can you break that up between housing finance and ex of housing finance, how that is shaped up?
So yeah. I will take the first question, Devansh. Cost of funds have actually started coming down. If you see Q3 FY24, we were at about 11.9% on an overall basis. Today, on an overall basis, we are at about 10.8%. That is on the overall. On the incremental, like I said during my initial speech,
from a Q2 FY24, when we were at my incremental cost of borrowing was 12.7%, we have now come to close to 10.5% or just below 10.5% in the current quarters. We are confident that going forward, this trend should continue. See, I also made a mention about the NCDs that we had borrowed between December 2022, and let me put it maybe up to December 2023. A lot of it gets paid over the next 3-5 quarters. A lot of it in the next three quarters, that is Q2, Q3, and Q4. Those were taken at higher rates. That will, and that is getting replaced by these funds which are now at about, I would say, 10.5% or maybe lower. So once that actually, that kind of replacement is happening, the cost of funds, the trajectory will be downwards. It would be for me to possibly get the benefit of a double A minus, I would be possibly 2-3 quarters away.
Okay.
Yeah, on the credit cost. Yeah.
Housing and discussed.
So credit cost in the housing side has been consistent at 0.4% over the previous quarters. And so there's no reason to believe that that will change.
75-25 is the credit cost. 75-25. 75% is from the parent and 25% from the housing company.
Okay. And our guidance in terms of AUM for this year, next year, and also the ROE metric you are looking for, and within that, guidance for cost of borrowing as well as credit cost for FY25 and FY26?
See, like I said, on the AUM, I think we have said that earlier also, we are looking at close to 9,500 crores in the standalone, and on an overall basis of about 12,500 crores is the AUM that we are looking at. When we talk about the cost of funds, I said that we are at about 10.8 on an overall basis in the current quarter. We should possibly go down by about 10 basis points a quarter and go to a figure. So let us say about around 10.5 in the fourth quarter. That's the way I would look at it. On the ROE, I would say that we would possibly be able to give more guidance as we go into the possibly at the end of the next quarter, because we are working on certain things, and we would want to see that happening before we give any guidance on the ROE.
Okay. Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Devansh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good afternoon, everyone. So the first question that I had was on vehicle finance. A little bit earlier, you had said that we have now started focusing on pickups and small commercial vehicles. So just wanted to clarify, has the focus completely shifted to SUVs and pickups, or, I mean, is it still going to be a good mix between M&HCVs and SUVs going ahead?
Abhijit, I think we explained it during the last call also. Somewhere, ICVs are getting replaced by single-axle trucks because the viability of the single-axle trucks has significantly improved with the tonnage changes that have happened, and they are coming and hitting the resale market. So some amount of single-axle trucks, particularly in Tier 3 locations, there is a lot of market that has grown. We would not want to miss those opportunities because if ICV versus single axle truck, I would any time prefer a single axle truck because they are more stable. There is no discounting there, so the price of the used vehicle market doesn't drop there. So some amount of M&HCV will remain because India moves in M&HCV.
Got it. So the second question I had was on the SME business. I think during the opening remarks, we spoke about starting this new SME product targeted at Tier 3 and Tier 4 markets. So if you could just explain what product are we exactly targeting in SME, ticket sizes, yields, how are we kind of building this product? And is it going to be a core product for us going forward? Because what I see in our press release now, we've started calling out vehicle and housing as our core AUM and core disbursements.
This product we just launched, it is a 3 to 7 lakh micro loan against property product. We have started piloting in Tamil Nadu, which is one of the largest markets. It will be predominantly towards business people who want loan to run their working capital. That's the product which we are targeting. CV will remain, the vehicle will remain the core business of the company. This product will be an ancillary product for at least next 2 years. We are targeting a yield of beyond 20% in this product.
Got it. So, and then the last question that I had was on basically predictability. Today, I mean, if you look at our P&L, right, I mean, while the business momentum has been very, very good, and congratulations to you for that, there is still much to be desired in terms of predictability of the P&L. So whether it is credit costs, the non-interest income components, so when can we start seeing more predictability in our earnings profile?
Abhijit, I think I will respond to that. See, I will split it into two parts. One is the revenue part. I will talk about the expenses separately. On the revenue, the predictability has come in. See, there was a one-off in the immediately preceding quarter, but then now we are talking about the same thing which will go forward, and the growth will happen basis a combination of interest income, the other revenues which are there, and also the insurance income that we would be we have started getting from the preceding quarter. So the way, once the business grows, and because of the kinds of funds that we are now getting, we are confident that the growth will be there. So, and that's the reason we are saying that the CV business by itself would have a roughly 9,500. I mean, the standalone business will have a book of about 9,500 crores, and all these will be revenue yielding businesses. So and that will grow on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Between the last quarter and this quarter itself, the CV interest income saw an increase of about 30 crores, 29 crores to something to be very precise. So that kind of growth you will see on a quarter-on-quarter basis. I will now talk about the expenses. See, expenses, we had said in the previous calls also that we are in a phase where we are actually growing. We are looking at expanding. We had said that we intend to have about 80 to 100 branches in the current financial year. We have increased it by about 22 or something in the first quarter. Some bit of the balance will happen in the next 3 quarters. We are ramping up manpower, which will be a cost. Apart from these two and the new business which Karthikeyan mentioned about the SME, we don't see any additional cost that will come. So we don't see any large expenses or new expenses coming up in the overall operating expenses line item. The credit cost is possibly, like Karthikeyan mentioned that sometime back, and I think Srijit also mentioned, that Q1 is normally pretty bad because delinquencies go up a little bit, only to get corrected over the next 3 quarters. So the credit cost will continue to be, I would say, reasonably steady. And the indication of about that 1.5% kind of ultimate loss, which Karthik mentioned, would be definitely be there. Here I would actually want to point out the at the PPOP level, if you leave out the one-off of the versus of the and compare it with the immediately preceding quarter or the same quarter last year, there has been a substantial increase, and it's all because of the increased asset book that we have and the increased yields and also the new insurance income which is there. So the predictability going forward is there, and we are confident that we will be able to deliver increased revenues. And I would say a reasonable amount of OpEx and therefore better profitability.
Got it, sir. Just one follow-up on that. I think I heard during the call that there is a legacy book of almost 211 crores, which will get resolved over the next 2 years. Other than that, any portfolio, either in the residual corporate book, vehicle or SME book, where you are contemplating any other ERC transaction or basically portfolio sell-downs? All of that is now behind.
I'm not any predicting anything, but two of my corporate companies have come and asked me for, want, telling me that they want to move out of me. So if any of these guys move out of me, then I will not run a corporate book for a single customer. That's the call we will take at that point of time, because two people, one of the large guys has come and told me that he has a lot of money he wants to foreclose. So if he forecloses, the other guy wants to BT out to some other NBFC. For one loan, we will not continue. At that point of time, we will take a call as to what is to be done. Apart from this, we don't see any other thing coming and impacting us.
Even on the 211 crores, which Karthik had mentioned about, that is substantially provided for, and we carry close to 60% of provisioning on that. And the settlement that we are doing is at a rate which is substantially higher than the
provision.
Provision. So we are confident that there will not be any major challenge.
Got it, sir. This is very useful. Thank you, and all the very best to you and your team.
Thanks, Abhijit.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support as usual.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saptarshi Chatterjee from Groww AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on good growth. My question pertains to the employee growth that I'm seeing around in the CV business, around 500 employee addition, versus only 20 branch addition in this quarter. And there is a sharp increase in the employee strength. Can you please highlight which verticals and why are you adding the employees? I was expecting that year onwards, employee productivity would increase.
The employee productivity is at around 40 lakhs, which is one of the highest in the industry. So we are dealing only with retail FPU profiles, which are predominantly in Tier 3, Tier 4 markets. So the distance, what we have done is we have categorized branches based on their potential, and based on the potential, we have given manpower. We feel like this is the correct kind of number which we are having, and the productivity, which I have mentioned, is one of the best in the industry.
Also, the increase of about 482 odd employees, roughly 60 of them are for the SME business, which Karthik said that we have just started, and we will be rolling out over the next, I would say, couple of months. We have just done a pilot in Tamil Nadu, and we will be rolling it out. So that is the reason why the number looks, your feeling is that, no, the number of branches have not come in, but the number of employees are there.
Got it, sir. Can you please highlight what is the outlook for total branch addition as well as employee addition for full year?
We were at about 391 last year, in the end of March. We are looking at being close to 360-470 by the end of the year.
Understood. And second question is, on the CV business again. So when we are saying that we will reach around 9,500 crore, and there, what kind of ECL provisioning we want to maintain? It would be around this Stage 3, 55%, or you see that there can be better PD LGDs, and therefore, ECL provisioning can be lower for this year?
See, 50% is something which we will be comfortable with. We will continue to hold 50% at Stage 3. That is the comfortable number in our view.
Understood. And sir, lastly, can you please remind us what is the total, I think you were highlighting, but can you please remind total, SR book for us and total absolute provisioning on that? And any updates on that part?
See, the we were at about 1175 crores of net SRs at the beginning of the at the beginning of the year. We have collected about 53 crores against that, so the gross is at about 1122 crores. We have a provision, net provision of about 357 crores, leaving a total outstanding of about 766 odd crores on the overall basis. So these are, I would say, SRs which would get redeemed over a period of time. Most of it have happened in the last, let us say, 6 to 9 months. So most of it will start, I would say, getting. In fact, I mentioned about the 53 or 54 crores of cash coming in. That has happened against one of the SRs which were issued to us last August. So against that cash, substantial cash has come in. A lot more will start, will come. But then it is something which would be a 2 to 3 of years kind of journey for the entire thing to get redeemed.
Got it. Very helpful. Just one clarification that here, as of now, generally you are not expecting any revaluation negative impact for in next 2-3 quarters for the SR book, right?
See, we created that extra cushion last year, so we don't expect anything to come this year.
March we had,
if you remember our March call, we had said that whatever is the gain we got, we have put it as an extra provision. So we don't expect anything extra to come.
Right, sir. Very helpful, and thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vibha from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is on operating efficiency. You said you are operating at best level efficiency at industry level. Could you please elaborate on that? What does it translate into, you know, number of cases per sales officer, or what benchmark are really you talking about?
See, we have two sets of businesses. The M&HCV business, there should be a minimum 40 lakh productivity or 5 units minimum. In the small commercial vehicle, it has to be 30 lakhs or 8 units. That's the productivity level which we are following, which is one of the best in the industry. I'm talking about conversion, I'm not talking about sourcing. So logins will be much higher because only 50% is the, 62% is my approval ratio. So the number of cases they source are much higher.
Okay. So these are disbursements.
This is disbursement. What I mentioned is on disbursement.
Yeah. Small and MHCV is, 40 lakh and 5 cases.
Yeah, MHCV is 40 lakh or 5 cases. Small is 8 or 30.
And this is the benchmark, or this is your average productivity that you're achieving?
This is the average productivity we are achieving as of today. This is the benchmark we have today. Almost 70% of my population achieved this benchmark.
Okay. And what is your attrition rate at branch level?
See, the overall company level is stable at around 24%. Front end ranges between 35 to 40% depending on the markets. There are few markets where there are aggressive competitors where we are seeing a bit of higher attrition. Particularly in the sales side, collection and credit, we are not seeing any attrition.
Okay. So my question is, actually, I'm just trying to put the numbers and relate them to profitability. If we are already at best of productivity, and if you are achieving 70% of your staff is achieving this productivity, it is quite commendable by any standard. But that also means that there is no scope to improve the cost-to-income ratio. Because on cost side, you're already doing the best. And if that be the case, then the profitability matrix looks very worrisome because your return on equity is only 0.36%. And to an earlier participant, you said that 1.5% is the credit provision you expect on an ongoing basis after your bad book runs up. And if I see for this quarter, credit provision in relation to the average, it is only 1.6%. Where do you think the profitability improvement, if at all, will come from?
Vibha, I think I had answered this in a combination of 2-3 points. I will possibly consolidate it in a single response and give it to you again. Vibha, we mentioned about a change in the strategy wherein we are now talking about moving from a M&SCV to a SCV and the smaller trucks, which are smaller vehicles, which are yielding higher. So over the last 3 quarters from Q1 FY25, we are talking about an increase of roughly 70 bips in the yields. So the yields are now going up. The disbursement normally happen towards the fag end. So the income generation against the disbursement normally come in the next quarter. So a lot of it will start, you'll start seeing it in the current quarter. So that we are talking about is 70 bits. The insurance income that we mentioned about is something which started from the 22nd of February, to be very precise, from the 22nd of February. So some 4.76 crores of income came from in the preceding quarter, and roughly 15 odd crores came in the current quarter. We expect these to continue, and basis the disbursements that we do get, I would say we will be, and if we are able to sell more policies, we will be able to get higher revenues from there. So the revenue part is something which is growing. Now we come to the cost of funds. I also mentioned about the cost of funds being higher than possibly what my peers are at. It's largely because of the reason for me to, for the need that I had about a year and a half back, or maybe slightly more than that, to actually go and get funds through the NCD route. But the intention was to kickstart the business in this, which we did successfully. And now we talk about, in fact, we boast about the increase that we are having. The basis that we have started getting funds from banks and other sources. I also mentioned about the public issue that we are doing, and for which we have filed the prospectus a couple of days back on the 29th of July. Those things will actually lead to my cost reduction. Some of it I have actually shown by way of numbers, going from the incremental borrowing cost has actually gone from a 12.7% to roughly 10.5%. So the benefits of that will come in the quarters to come, and going forward with the banks opening up for me, I am able to get funds at a lower rate, and the NCDs which I have taken is something which will get start will start getting repaid from the September quarter. Some 500-600 crores get repaid in the September quarter, 400-500 crores get repaid in the December quarter, another 400 gets repaid in the March quarter. So we are talking about the high cost funds going away, getting replaced by lower cost funds. So then you, if you look at it, it is more like a scissor, that one is going down, the other is going up kind of thing. And therefore you will see that benefit of that going to the bottom line. You add comfort on the OPEX, so I'm not getting into that right.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Just M&SCV, what is the yield? And on SCVs that you're doing now, what is the yield? Can you please help me with that? Maybe last quarter disbursements.
Company-wide, we are average 18.4. M&SCVs are 18.6, sorry. M&SCVs are in the range of around 17.5 to 18. Small commercial vehicles are much higher. I don't want to give a number for the small commercial vehicle because this call will be heard by everybody. You can talk to me separately so that I can give you the correct number.
Yeah, sure. And what is the percentage book between M&SCV and SCV, and what do you target it to be going forward?
M&SCV as of today on terms of the units is around 35%, volume is around 45%. We would like M&SCV to be in the range of less than 35%.
Okay. And the second question is on the investments that you have these are all liquid investments, so apart from your investments in HFC subsidiary, or there is something more to that?
There are three parts to the investments, Vibha. One is the investment in HFC, which is roughly about 453 crores. Second is the investment that I mentioned sometime back to a different question on the investment in the SRs that we have, which I replied to the previous person, investor had mentioned that on what is that as a figure. And third are the liquid ones, which the excess funds are put somewhere so that it yields some bit of revenue.
Okay, okay. So what would be the quantum on SRs, if you could help me with that?
On SRs, the net figure would be about 766 crores.
766 crores, okay. Okay. Okay, so these HFC, of course, will remain, but the SRs, when they run down, then that will also impact your overall yield favorably.
Correct. It will improve my overall ROA. When we talk about yield, we don't consider SR.
Yes, sir.
So it will improve my ROA, and therefore my ROE is also.
Okay. And what are the other financial assets? This 225.9 crore as on June 24th. This is slide number...
Slide number...
36.
Give me a minute. You said 26 or 36?
36. 36. And there is other financial assets, 225.9 crore as on June 24th.
Vibha, can we take it offline? Just hold on. It's some security deposits, some assignment receivables, deposit with the trustees for securitization and other receivables of about 40 crores. That's the 226 odd crores.
Bulk of it is the deposits with trustees for securitization.
Okay.
176
crores. So these will be yielding the same as your normal assets, right?
No, no. The
FDs generally yield lower, no?
Yeah, lower, and when it is...
When you FDs. Okay.
These are FDs for the BTC kind of transactions we have done.
Okay. You're carrying a lot of liquidity actually in relation to your borrowings. Is it because you're not confident in getting the refinance lines, or what is your policy?
No, that is not the... We have a policy of ensuring that we keep at least funds to take care of the next 2 months of repayment. So I just now in a different context I mentioned about September being a month where we have a huge repayment of as a lot of entities go out. So that is the reason we keep this kind of funds. And the business is growing, so funds are required. So we need to ensure that funds are available. While the collection has been very good at about 300 odd crores a month, we need to have funds in hand to ensure that the business doesn't wait for the funds and then do the business kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vibha.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was the last question for today's conference. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sanklecha from Orient Capital for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants. If you have any query, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisors to Indostar Capital Finance Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, sir.
On behalf of Indostar Capital Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.